What does the voice of God sound like? In the most famous film about our Old Testament lesson, 1956 classic The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, who was already playing Moses, convinced Cecil B. DeMille that he should also voice God in this scene. Is this a classic case of Hollywood leading man arrogance? Or are we supposed to say that God is supposed to sound like James Earl Jones, like your grandfather, or like whatever patriarchal authority is in your life? Or is the theological takeaway that we hear God through our own conscience, that God speaks to us in ways that we recognize? Fast forward to 1998, another movie about Moses, the Prince of Egypt, this time animated. The creative team thought extensively during that movie about how to portray the scene of Moses and the burning bush. Specifically, they worried about the gender of the sound of the voice of God. And so in the editing process, at one point they blended the many different voices of all the different characters in the movie. The theological takeaway there would be something like, the voice of God is all of us, the sum of our existence, a cosmological blend of humanity. But this composition ended up sounding a little too polytheistic, like the many gods of the Egyptian religion that Moses and the Jewish people were opposing. So they decided to do the same thing as in the Ten Commandments. Val Kilmer, the voice of Moses, also voiced God in that movie. Bear with me, one more. Fast forward to 2014. This time the movie is called Exodus, Gods and Kings. This movie depicted God's voice as coming from a shepherd boy because the director wanted the voice to come from someone young and innocent, but also commanding. The director said that he wanted something like the young Dalai Lama. Well, Christian groups were up in arms, with God being displayed in human form, and the movie was a critical flop. So, what does the voice of God sound like? The question certainly goes deeper than a film-by-film comparison can provide. The Bible, of course, is helpful in this regard. And it describes the voice of God in a number of different ways. There's the still, small voice of God that Elijah hears. There's Samuel, who confuses the voice of God for that of his teacher, Eli. More dramatically, in Jeremiah, the voice of God sounds like fire, like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. In the book of Genesis, in one of the very first conversations between God and humanity, God asks Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where are you? A spiritual mentor of mine used to talk about how you hear God's voice in that question, where are you? How you hear God's voice is where your spiritual life is at that moment. So do you hear God plaintively calling? Do you hear it as a stern rebuke? Or do you hear it as an actual earnest question asking about your whereabouts? My confession in all of this would be, if you were to put me on the spot, I think in my heart of hearts, I would probably say that I think the sound of God's voice sounds like Charlton Heston's. Let's return then to our text. To this complicated, multifaceted account. Maybe we've heard a bunch of times that we maybe need to hear again. What are the conditions in which Moses hears God speak to him? What is the context in which this event takes place? This event which is maybe the most pivotal in all of the Old Testament. When Moses hears the voice of God, Moses is hiding. He has fled from Egypt after having killed the Egyptian overseer. He has found some measure of peace as an obscure shepherd in the wilderness. He does not know who he is, though. He's an adopted Egyptian, biologically Hebrew. He's a criminal, destined to be a hero. Helpfully, to this point, he asks God, "Who am I?" Unhelpfully, God does not answer that question. The voice does not provide an answer, but it gives him a mission. When Moses hears the voice, Moses is working as a shepherd, believing that that is his vocation. And he's going about the most everyday of tasks for him. He's corralling sheep. The epic quality of Moses' stories and our understanding of those films distracts us from how ordinary the setting for this conversation is. He was tending his sheep. He was knee-deep in the muck of working with these animals. In other words, Moses is on another Wednesday at the office. He's filling out the TPS reports. He's grading the papers. He's plugging in the data into the spreadsheets. He's on a conference call. And that's maybe not where and how we expect to hear God's voice. But God speaks to Moses and to us when we are at work. That's important to remember. As much as one would like to privilege a church or a religious building for hearing God's voice, Moses joins with Samuel and Amos and Gideon and Paul and Simon and Andrew and James and John, who all hear God's voice while they're at work doing their jobs. What a challenge for us to hear God in those places, as a fisherman, as a farmer, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a banker. What a gift that God will speak to us there, that God will speak to us when we're on the run, when we're hiding, trying to get as far away from hearing that voice as possible. While he was working, God called to him, "Moses, Moses," that famous repetition of one's name that occurs so often in the Bible. Moses gets in some good questions: "Who am I? Who are you?" But it's God's voice that dominates the exchange. God assures Moses that this is not a strange God, but the same God whom his people have been worshiping for generations, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When pressed for clarification, God's voice does not budge, but affirms the mystery of God: "I am what I am." This is the enigmatic answer to the question of the identity of God, and it corresponds to the present and hidden quality of God. It's all we or Moses get. God says, "You are standing on holy ground. Remove your sandals, get in the dirt in which I made you from, the dirt you will return to." God assures us that God will water and fertilize that space around it in order to make it holy. In the season of Lent, we are reminded that we can't do that watering by ourselves, but God can and God does. In the end, we are called out by God, not because who we are, but because who God is. Frederick Buechner writes about this experience of hearing God. I'd like to share a quote with you. "I think if you have your ears open, every once in a while, some word in even the most unpromising sermon will flame out. Some scrap of prayer or anthem, some moment of silence even. The sudden glimpse of somebody you love sitting there near you. The glimpse of some stranger whose face without warning touches your heart. That will flame out. And these are the moments that speak our names in ways we cannot help hearing. These are the moments in the depths, whatever our dimness and sadness and lostness are, give us an echo of a wild and bidding voice that calls us deeper still." It is the same voice that Moses heard. And for as long as the moment lasts, we suspect that maybe it's true. Maybe the ground on which we stand really is holy ground because we heard that voice here. It called us by name. Moses can never quite shake the sound of that voice. Moses himself, who is slow of speech, whose voice was weak and pathetic, can never quite get God's voice out of his head, out of his bones. Moses then becomes a burning bush in his own person, and something changed forever on that side of the mountain, such that the sound of God's voice would echo throughout the ages in ways that one could never imagine. Amen.